What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to six guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Today's show is brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. Remember, you can get $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win in the NFL. Remember, FanDuel.com, America's number one sportsbook. New customers get $300 in bonus bets if your $5 bet wins. You can join today at FanDuel.com. Join America's number one sportsbook. You want to lock that in? Go to FanDuel.com today and tell them you heard about it on the Believe It Ole Miss podcast. And now, back to the show.
And we welcome you into Believe It Ole Miss, joined now by Sudhu Upadhyaya, who joins Ben Garrett. And by the way, Sudhu, I have said that you are the reason that Ole Miss turned their defense around because of the post game in Sanford Stadium when Georgia beat Ole Miss late in the game. Thanks for coming on today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that post game that was fun. First of all, it was awesome being on with you two. But I caught some heat for that, man. There were some comments on YouTube. People are upset that I gave such a honest opinion on how Ole Miss's defense played. Apparently, I was glazing Georgia too much, I believe was one of the comments. But I just call it how I see it, man. But yeah, that was a good time.
Looking at, I know you've seen the press conference. It is night and day from the head coaching position at Ole Miss with Lane Kiffin going to LSU, for now anyway. And Pete Golding, the new head coach at Ole Miss, what did you take away? It wasn't a press conference necessarily, but it kind of was. It was our first media availability with the new head coach.
Yeah, I mean, that was the closest thing to an introductory press conference you could obviously get. Obviously, Pete mentioned he, you know, canceled the original one or didn't want to have it because it wasn't about him. It was about the players. And, I mean, dude, the energy he brought, the things he was saying, like that, if that was an introductory press conference that was, you know, let's say it was at the Pavilion like it was for Lane Kiffin, I think that would have gone over a lot. I mean, it's very popular on social media, but because it was a Zoom interview and not in person, I don't think it's getting as much play as it maybe should. But the guy's saying all the right things. You know what his resume is. And for the uncomfortable position that Ole Miss was put in by Lane Kiffin, I think this was the only option they could have taken. And, you know, I was extremely impressed with just how Keith handled everything. Not only just, you know, being strategic, but also in the way that he presented Ole Miss nationally and the way that he's gone on shows and a media tour of sorts to sort of do some damage control. But yeah, I'm excited. I mean, there's no telling what the Pete Golding era is going to look like. If he has it his way, it'll just be the same system churning and the program continuing to go the way it has been. But, you know, I don't think it's doom and gloom for Ole Miss, like it could have been if Pete wasn't on staff.
Michael Katz last night, I'm sure you saw the term sheet, and it is a term sheet. It wasn't contracts, but term sheets for the coaches. Kevin Smith was on that term sheet. Surprised by that at all?
Yes and no. I know the term sheet's not technically official, right? Until it's a signed contract. Now, with Michael Katz's tweet, I was going to say I didn't actually see a term sheet for Kevin Smith. Obviously, I'm taking his word for it. But was there an official one on Kevin Smith that I missed somewhere in that thread? Or
I was looking, and I just assumed Kevin Smith was on there. I didn't really look in great detail, and I didn't get a lot of kickback on that. So. Yeah. I do feel comfortable that I believe that there is a term sheet signed by Kevin Smith. But once again, as I've learned in the legalese world, that really doesn't mean a whole lot. That just means that the terms presented, he signed that. I just found it interesting. I don't know if that says a lot for LSU and what they feel in regards to Frank Wilson versus what Ole Miss feels in regards to Kevin Smith. And I've just always made the assumption that, that Kevin has followed Lane everywhere he's went. So I don't know why this would be any different. But very surprised at all with the terms in regards to the salary for Pete Golding, a little under $7 million. Ole Miss going to save a substantial amount of money on that end.
That's the thing. I think a lot of people are questioning whether, you know, he's earned that amount, if he's never been a head coach and all this stuff. And I'm like, look, for a guy to step in the time that he's stepping in and being asked to do what he's being asked to do, which is lead this team into the college football playoff and potentially make a run, what you already know about him, what he's already brought to your program and established in a short time at Oxford as far as recruiting and just, you know, we saw a year ago when he has the right players, his defense can be one of the best in the nation. I think he's 100% earned it. This is also a new era of college football, right? And if you're a serious program like Ole Miss, you know, I get it. You're promoting from within. You're sort of being rushed into that decision, but you still pay the guy what you, where you think your program is now, you pay based on that. So I 100% think it's fair for Pete. I just keep going back to his experience. That in no way guarantees that Pete Golding's going to be a surefire success, but it gives you something to look at and go, you know, yeah, we're going to reward you for what you've accomplished so far, what you've already brought to our program, and what we're expecting you to do. I think that's what that salary reflects. So I wasn't that surprised. And like you said, you're technically saving money because you're willing to give Lane Kiffin almost 13 and a half. So, I mean, double what Pete's making pretty much, right? So, no, I wasn't too surprised by that.
Your thoughts kind of early on, Kalen DeBoer's name, the highest odds of being named the new head coach of this horrible situation in Michigan. What does Alabama do? We'll get to Ole Miss in a moment, but I know you're all over the SEC, you know, based out of the Georgia market. Where does Alabama turn if Kalen DeBoer entertains and takes a Michigan job?
Well, Brad, you see me smiling because there's only one place to go. All right, you go to Baton Rouge. No, I don't know necessarily where Bama honestly turns. I mean, it's because, look, here's the thing. I know we all it comes with the Lane Kiffin package, and LSU fans are noticing this now, especially with the chatter on Twitter. But as long as you have Lane Kiffin, no matter where he's at, it doesn't matter. There's always a risk of him leaving for something else that he might consider better, whether that's overall or at the time. But I don't think he's leaving LSU. I think he's set on being there. I think he sees it as a program where he can accomplish whatever it is he's looking to accomplish. But it would be fun, obviously, if Bama were to pull away Kiffin without him ever having coached a down of football at LSU. I mean, that would be pretty remarkable. But all in all, that's a great question because I think we all just assume like, yeah, Lane's going to be the guy they go after if DeBoer were to leave. I think there's a few different options. You could go former Saban assistant. You could try to pry someone away from a sitting head coach. The problem with Alabama, the thing about DeBoer leaving Alabama, and I don't know if I believe it. I don't know why you would leave Alabama voluntarily. Like, it's already set up for so much success. You always get the benefit of the doubt nationally. You've got Nick Saban on a national scale that can be your advocate. It's a program built for you to win, right? We talked about Lane going to LSU and everyone says, well, LSU's a program built to win. Well, that's all Alabama's been doing for almost two decades, right? And so I find it very hard to believe that Kalen DeBoer would actually say in the midst of another playoff team, right, in Alabama, to say, no, like, this isn't enough for me or the pressure's too high. Let me go to Michigan. Like, the pressure's there at Michigan. It's another top job in college football. God forbid you don't win against Ohio State consistently, the pressure that brings. It's very similar to Alabama. So I don't understand why DeBoer would or anyone would ever voluntarily leave the job, the head coaching job at the University of Alabama. So this is one of those things where I'm like, I'm sure people have got great sourcing. There's probably interest, you know how agents operate in the college football world, but I'll believe it when I see it as far as Kalen DeBoer leaving Alabama on his own accord to take another job.
Really interesting times in the world of college football. I don't know that I've seen a carousel quite like this. Probably never will in our lifetime in the world of college football in the SEC. Will Hall, a familiar name around Mississippi, will be the new Tulane head football coach. it's kind of weird. They were introducing him and he was talking about what he wanted to do, but yet you've got John Sumrall and his camp over here getting ready to play Ole Miss. His press conference was pretty much, I know you heard it, you know, quote, we did not play well, we didn't coach well, and if we do not do what we need to do, we're going to get beat again. Kind of an interesting dynamic down at Tulane. Your thoughts, kind of what you anticipate from John Sumrall. He even tweeted a graphic to where it was half Florida, half Tulane. I mean, in Oxford, you can safely say there is no middle ground. I mean, the only particular coach of substance. Now, there's other coaches that are coming back to help, but it's pretty much been the Charlie Weiss show. John David Baker's the new OC. Kind of some different times in Oxford, but it really feels like a much different time in Tulane with John Sumrall going out, headed to Florida, and, of course, Will Hall coming in.
No doubt. And Will Hall, I believe, was on the Memphis staff when I covered the Mike Norvell teams down there. And he was, like, very highly thought of at the time. Just a few couple interactions, like interviews and stuff. He was an impressive guy. So I'm, you know, I think the success of Tulane is just something you can keep churning, especially being at the Group of Five level and having some of the resources they seem to have being based out of New Orleans. You know, I don't see why Will Hall can't just keep it going. As far as Sumrall, and yeah, the tweet was hilarious. It was a bit corny, but I'm a big John Sumrall fan. So I didn't really probably take it as seriously as some other people did who were, you know, really going in on him on Twitter. But you know, happy for John Sumrall. I thought he would have been a great fit at Ole Miss. I know there was a lot of interest there on his end. You know, obviously with the way Lane Kiffin operated, it really messed up the timeline, and I don't think Ole Miss really could have pursued him or really anyone else seriously enough because there was uncertainty. And he's bringing in Buster Faulkner, who is one of my favorite offensive minds in college football right now. Obviously, I was formerly at Fox 5 here in Atlanta, and so I got to cover Georgia Tech closely. Obviously, my job was mostly based on covering UGA, but that, you know, intertwines with that being such a big rivalry, and got to watch Buster Faulkner's offenses in person. I think that's a hell of a duo between Sumrall on defense and what Buster Faulkner could bring on offense, just how creative he is, how versatile he is. He can just mold his system around any player, as you saw with Haynes King at Georgia Tech. That was a home run hire for me. And although I'm very happy that Ole Miss is Pete Golding and excited with, you know, the way he's talking and his background, I was, you know, I was dreaming, the fan side of me was dreaming of a Sumrall Faulkner Golding staff in Oxford, which would have just been elite. I mean, the defensive side of the ball would have been secure with the two defensive minded guys and then with Buster Faulkner's offense. So a little jealous as far as what they got with Faulkner, but also I know JDB's got a, you know, a great trajectory as far as how he's been going in his coaching career and just what he was able to do in transforming ECU's offense. So once again, not taking anything away from what Ole Miss did, but I am extremely impressed with the staff he's assembling down there in Gainesville. Love the way he's handling, the way he's leaving Tulane. I know if someone asked me, a non-Ole Miss person said, why can Tulane let Sumrall coach knowing he's going to Florida, but Ole Miss won't let Lane do the same? I said, well, it comes down to two things. First of all, Ole Miss and LSU are conference rivals, okay? It's not the same. Tulane, also, you're talking about two different levels of football, right? You're talking about FBS, like Power Four, right? And you're talking about a Group of Five. There is a difference that we talk about how any program can elevate themselves in college football today using NIL. And while that is true, it is still a lot harder to do so at the Group of Five level versus if you're a, you know, either a bottom feeder Power Four or a middling Power Four. Like, you can rise to the top like Indiana, but I still do think there's a large kind of gap from the Group of Five to Power Four level. So anyone that's been confused as to why Ole Miss won't let Lane coach but Tulane, I think you need to apply that to your way of thinking of these are completely two different levels. Also, they're not rivals. But what I do appreciate about Sumrall is he's handled everything with so much class. You know, I heard him on, I can't remember what show he was on, maybe Bussin' with the Boys or maybe a Barstool show. I can't remember. But he mentioned, I'm not recruiting anybody from Tulane actively to join me at Florida. He's like, I finished up our recruiting class here for Tulane for next year. And the only way I would ever recruit a current player of mine is if they enter the portal, and if I think they're good enough to play at Florida, then I'll contact them. But I'm not actively recruiting these guys. And I think that's awesome. I think it speaks to his character. just the type of guy he is. And you just couldn't, you couldn't let Lane be in the building, man. You couldn't trust the guy. I mean, you just can't trust him with your secrets. I mean, they go, well, he let all the assistants come back that are going to work for Lane, but why not Lane? Because I guess they trust the assistants more. Like they have better. And also it's about the players, right? The guys wanting their position coaches there. So, you know, I, once again, yeah, really, really excited for John Sumrall. I think he's a super, super bright mind in college football. And, yeah, Florida, you know, all signs indicate towards this working out for Florida, but, you know, we'll see what ends up happening.
This is the table, the one with the view. This is how you reserve exclusive tables with Chase Sapphire Reserve. This is your name on the list. This is the chef sending you something he didn't put on the menu. This is 3x points on dining with Chase Sapphire Reserve and a $300 dining credit that covered the citrus pavlova and drinks and the thing you didn't think you liked until you tasted it. Chase Sapphire Reserve, now even more rewarding.
Learn more at chase.com/sapphire reserve. Cards issued by JPMorgan Chase Bank, NA member FDIC, subject to credit approval.
Introducing Fidelity Trader Plus. With customizable tools and charts you can access across all your devices. Try our most powerful trading platform yet at fidelity.com/trader plus. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.
Whether you're gifting, decorating, or treating yourself, Lowe's December Deal Drops are here to help you save more all month long. Get up to 50% off select holiday decor. Plus, get up to 45% off select tools and accessories. Shop new December Deal Drops every week this month and get so much more out of your holidays. Lowe's, we help you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Let's talk about Ole Miss. And obviously, Pete Golding made the mention to, or at least Keith Carter made the mention to Ben Garrett, saying that it was his choice, his being Pete Golding's, for not having an introductory press conference. And then we would have, then we would ask Pete when we had that availability about that press conference. He said, look, he said, this is not something that we're looking forward to. This is not something we look to 2026. We have something to finish here. We have an opportunity to where we have to finish strong here. So he said, once again, you made mention, it made it the perfect analogy, or the perfect way to say it. This was about the players. You look at this team and how this team's going to finish. Number one, is there a sense of enthusiasm with John David Baker now is the new OC for next year? And two, how do you think Pete has done with trying to finish out this year? And I guess the third component of that, where are the players' heads at, or where are they going to be when this team rolls out a week from Saturday?
Yeah. So as far as JDB, I mean, I guess he's technically in Oxford, right? I'm assuming his role is mostly going to be focused on recruiting, I would assume. And maybe he works with Charlie a little bit because he is familiar with Kiffin's offense, having been co-OC in the past. I am excited just to see what John, like the college football fan in me, is excited to see how Pete Golding handles everything, how John David Baker's handled, like, because if he does well and they keep it rolling at Ole Miss, JDB's on a trajectory to be a head coach very quickly. So, you know, as an Ole Miss fan, obviously I want everybody to succeed and sunshine and rainbows and happiness and whatever. But just as a college football fan, I'm excited to see how these guys do. Like, these are bright minds in college football that, you know, have the potential to really establish legacies. And I just want to see what he looks like, what his offense looks like. Does he call plays the same way? Does he handle in-game situations the same way as Lane did or Charlie did? So I'm excited about him. As far as I believe the second part was, you said the players' heads at the time, right? I think I can't imagine any other feeling for them other than like, we're out to prove everybody, you know, wrong. Essentially, you know, a lot of people wrote this team off, although I think nationally there is a consensus that this is a playoff team that deserved to be in the playoffs. There are a lot of people pushing Ole Miss being bumped down because Lane left. Well, maybe they shouldn't be as high of a seed as originally anticipated and all these different things. I mean, their coach literally walked out on them before the first playoff run in school history. The same coach that brought him in, the same coach that preached about, you know, this kind of mindset for this program and these are the standards and this is what we're chasing, and right in the middle of that chase he left them. I think there's going to be a fire at Vaught Hemingway that we haven't seen in a long time. Obviously Ole Miss fans you know, have brought a home field advantage to the Vaught in the Lane Kiffin era, but with the magnitude of this game being a playoff game and with everything that's transpired, the players are going to come out fired up, and I think the fans are going to give them exactly what it is that both sides need synergistically to, like, really create a daunting environment for Tulane. I can't imagine, I mean, just how motivated these guys are going to be. And I know Pete's done a great job of imparting upon them of, like, hey, this is about your journey and you finishing. So I don't think they're going to be, you know, I don't think they're going to miss a beat as far as having the intensity to compete. And there was a third question, Brad, somewhere that
you pretty much answered that about how the transition's been with Pete. And yeah, I'm with you. I mean, he's handled it as well, I think, as you can, because when you have a coach, like you said, that leaves you in a college football playoff run, you have to do the best you can in the situation. And I think he's done that. I know you watched the video that the incredible team of Ole Miss, the Ole Miss video team, produced Will Day and his entire team. The one that was narrated by David Kellum. Not a lot of videos. I mean, I'm a huge fan, just like we all are, a huge college football fan, but not a lot of videos just really get to me. And yeah, that one got to me. And I thought it was very well done. I thought it was well shot. I thought David did a great job. But I think it's more or less the encapsulation of the Ole Miss football program coming together is one. And I think, to me, that's what makes this upcoming college football playoff so special. And I think for the fans, I think you made a good point, being able to celebrate. But I think more importantly, if you could understand this, maybe the people watching and listening, to be able just to let some steam off from what Lane did to you onto the opponent. In this case, it's Tulane. That place, to me, number one, your thoughts on the video, the upcoming game, but how the environment's going to be in Oxford in a week from Saturday.
Yeah, well, first off, that video, I mean, David Kellum is, he's a legend. I mean, I grew up listening to the guy. You know, I would if I wasn't at an Ole Miss game, I would try to, like, have my radio lined up. It never lined up because you needed some kind of app to line it up with the TV broadcast. But I would try to have David on, you know, on the radio while I watched Ole Miss games as a kid. So just a huge fan of his. And you know, the more I live or kind of work in the Northeast and kind of travel around the country that's not the South, I just appreciate David's voice as a broadcaster, as a Southern broadcaster, a lot more. It's just different. You know, nationally, you don't necessarily hear that Southern drawl, and some people view it as, you know, look down on it or whatever. But you listen to guys like David Kellum and you go, man, this guy is not just, you know, one of the greatest Ole Miss broadcasters or Mississippi, but just in the South. Like, he's one of the best. He's so good at capturing energy. And, you know, think of all those, like, pivotal moments in Ole Miss football, baseball, basketball, whatever history that David Kellum has, you know, has been involved with. Like, you think of him in those moments. It was a no-brainer. Like, you wanted to create a video to galvanize the entire fan base. And, you know, whether that's and also, like, former players, like, anyone that's ever been involved with the Ole Miss brand that still cares and wants them to succeed, and you got the perfect voice for it. And I think, honestly, I think the voice is the biggest part of that. Ole Miss Sports Productions does such a great job, Micah and his team over there, as far as like capturing video and, you know, just creating silky smooth NFL films like videos. So that part is always, that's the standard. But, you know, it depends, like the narrator, it depends, right? Sometimes you get former players or whatever, but you got the perfect guy to make everyone watching it that cares about Ole Miss get chills. Maybe a tear rolled down your cheek. So it was perfect. It was awesome. And then, sorry, Brad, second part. It's early in the morning. I'm not going to lie to you.
I think a lot of people appreciate your context of kind of being all over the South. You've worked in many areas outside of sports and sports entertainment. And how is Vaught Hemingway going to be on Saturday? And what are you anticipating in regards to an environment with the very first college football playoff game in Oxford? And it's really mind-boggling to really wrap your head around, number one, how you appreciate what Lane did, but on the flip side, it's okay to turn the page and look at the new guy in town and Pete Golding. It just feels like the vault's going to be insane.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's been billed as the biggest sporting event in the history of the state of Mississippi, not just the town of Oxford, but the entire state, right? So, I anticipate it to be just that. I mean, I'm so excited to be in town for that. Just as a kid who grew up in Oxford and loved Ole Miss football. And, you know, I used to dream of playing in a BCS bowl. You know, that used to be the thing when I was, you know, when I was younger, you know, back in the mid 2000s, was you wanted to be in a BCS bowl. And I mean, God forbid, just get to Atlanta, maybe win, get in the championship game. But just being in the BCS bowl was a cool thing. And I remember when Ole Miss won the Sugar Bowl in 2016, or 2015, whatever that was. And I remember, like, me and my friends, you know, after a night out on Bourbon Street, going home that night and just looking at each other going, dude, Ole Miss just played in a BCS bowl. You know, they didn't call it that at that point, obviously, but just the feeling of pride and happiness. Now multiply that by like a million times, because this is a college football playoff game and the stakes are higher and it actually means something. It's not just a reward at the end of the season. It's a chance to win a title and you know, be the most historically accomplished program at Ole Miss history, because in the modern era they just haven't had a team that has accomplished this feat. So I'm telling you, man, I know how much Ole Miss football means to the people of Mississippi, obviously the town and community of Oxford, Lafayette County. I just think it's going to be madness. Like, we're going to be annoyed. Traffic and, you know, just even foot traffic on campus the day of is going to be nuts. But man, when you get into that stadium and, you know, the team runs out, I don't know. I may cry, Brad. I mean, there's no telling. It could be an emotional moment just because, you know, of everything this program has been through over the last, like, you know, 20 years or so. The ups and downs and getting so close on so many occasions. It's just going to be kind of a culmination of all those experiences to have this moment. And regardless of whatever happens the rest of the way, it's still going to be one of the greatest events ever, if not the biggest sporting event ever in the state of Mississippi. So
I think the university has already set up just how incredible it's going to be. They use David in the voiceover. They've already teased us with the video. I think the heartstrings are going to be pulled. And a lot of the reason, Sudu, is because so many people that would normally be at this game from 10, 15, 20 years ago are no longer here. Yeah. So many of us are going to be going to the stadium, and I think there's going to be a lot of reflection. Obviously, reflection on people that have gone before us, former players that have gone before us, our family members that have gone before us, times we've celebrated in that stadium back in the 92 Egg Bowl where – Mississippi State had, 15, 16 plays inside the red zone, and seeing Ole Miss win that game. Deuce's punt return, so many games against LSU, the kick Andrew Ritter that I shared with my dad from 15 years ago. I think all of that's kind of just going to kind of come back for a lot of people, and I think it's going to give Ole Miss fans an opportunity to not only to reflect and to remember all of our times as kids growing up, but also time to celebrate just how big Ole Miss football is and how big of a step forward it's taken.
100%. I mean, that's spot on. And you're right about those shared experiences. You know, when I was younger, we would sit on the kind of close to the 50-yard line on the west side. And it was me and my dad. And my dad's not even like a huge college football guy, but he worked for Ole Miss for almost two decades. And, you know, is the reason why I grew up in Oxford and became an Ole Miss fan was because of his job at the university. Right. So I also have these great memories. I mean, the LSU game comes to mind in 2009, I believe, was the one where Les Miles had like terrible clock management and, you know, the game kind of ends. And it's just like so many moments like that of being in the stadium with people that you care about and sharing those experiences, whether it's your parents, your grandparents, your friends, whatever. And you're right. Like it's just special because it's such a large, it's such a big event and it just means so much. It's on such a national scale and you know, winning it means so much for the program as well. So yeah, dude, I mean, I'm getting chills just thinking about what it's going to be like. I know Ole Miss is going to do a great job as far as the game day experience is concerned. I'm sure the videos are going to hit a lot harder. I'm sure the I would be surprised if it didn't shoot another intro or make a different version just to keep things fresh for the playoff. And when the team runs out, Brad, that might be the loudest pop you hear all day, regardless of how the game ends or whatever. If there's theatrics in the game, which I don't expect. But I don't think you're going to get a larger pop than when Pete Golding runs that team out for the first time.
Isunu Upadea does a great job over in Atlanta, but you can hear him, of course, on the Talk of Champions along with Ben Garrett and The Game Runs Deep. And then he's popped in from time to time on The Drive Home, the postgame show that Ben and I do on the Talk of Champions. And, of course, that's after every Ole Miss home game. Isunu, thanks very much for joining us. I'm sure we'll talk to you again before kickoff. But it's going to be a lot of fun in Oxford. Appreciate you joining us.
Absolutely, Brad. I'll see you out there next week, man.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.